Welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
Brody.
You read the doc then and got confused, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Hello.
And Kieran.
Hello.
Kieran, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
As a fellow Melburnian this week, I feel I owe it to you to ask, how are you? How are you doing?
I have no idea. It has been a week. I just wake up every day now not knowing what to expect, to be honest.
Yeah, we've been juggling a lot between protests and the pandemic, of course, and now an earthquake in the mix as well. Shannon, I feel like it's been like well trod at this path, but how was your experience of the earthquake?
It was good. I had just gotten out of the shower and Mark said the house is shaking. So I walked into our kitchen naked and he was right. The house was shaking and there was no wind outside. And then that was it. That was the end.
And then it was over.
Pretty much how the
story I'm glad that we had like Twitter. Like what would you do if there was no Twitter or social media? Like how would you ever know for sure that it was an earth? I suppose you'd speak to people in real life, wouldn't you?
You'd have to read the newspaper the next day. Yeah. Speak to your neighbours.
Go down to Woolies and put it on the community board or something like that.
All right, let's get stuck into some video game talk. Kieran, we've got you especially on the show today to talk about a game that you've played in the past week or so. Maybe even a few days is more an accurate description.
Yes.
I am, of course, referring to Kena, Bridge of Spirits. Hopefully I got the pronunciation right. Yeah, I've heard like three or four different versions. How was the game?
It was good. It's, you know, obviously one that myself and a lot of people have been hyped for quite a while. I feel like PlayStation and the devs Ember Lab have been sort of hyping it up for the longest time, and it's finally here. And I guess the best way I can describe it is it's almost like a PS2 era adventure game, but super pretty. Which isn't a bad thing. I think it works really well in the game's favor. It's quite simple and quite breezy of an adventure game. But Ember Lab, who this is their debut video game, they have their roots in VFX and animation and stuff like that. So they've kind of really honed in on what their skill set is. And sort of crafted this really beautiful world with these great characters and these very cinematic qualities in cutscenes and in the music. And it kind of just, you know, chugs along to this really, really cool, really simple little, yeah, like almost early 3D Zelda-esque adventure game.
I feel like it's going to be a game that very much like speaks to me, like having kind of grown up in that kind of PS2 era.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, adventure games. Like, I think I heard someone make a comparison to like TAC and the TAC games. And
yeah, that, I think that was one of the things I said to Shannon actually while I was playing it. Do you ever play TAC, The Power of Juju?
Which is, yeah, most definitely like a game that was on my shelf growing up as a kid. Do you think like if you know stuff like Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank has kind of found an audience this year and spoken to a large group of players, do you think this is another game that kind of falls into that category and is likely to speak to them as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it kind of maybe has less to say than a lot of those games, you know, from developers that have kind of started to really push the envelope in storytelling and stuff. But it definitely taps into those really old school platformer adventure game sensibilities. And doesn't really get bogged down in like contemporary mechanics and stuff. It's just fun. It's simple and fun. And I think I use the word breezy in my review. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. You refer to it being quite simple, and I've seen lots of reviewers. It's probably worth mentioning as well that it's like, it's received a lot of positive critical acclaim. It seems to be doing very well. But I've seen, yeah, lots of reviewers kind of referring to it as quite simple in its mechanics, but it's actually a strength. Can I ask you to elaborate on that like a little bit more? Is it a matter of it not kind of getting in the way of itself, or how do you kind of explain that?
I think
that?
So. I think it's like, it's, and it's not that it's necessarily, easy or anything either. Like the combat itself can be quite challenging. There's some pretty tough bosses and stuff, but I think I think the main thing is it doesn't really distract you too much from just enjoying the world and the characters. You know, you kind of like, you always sort of know what you need to do and where you need to go. And it is kind of, it's a semi-open world. So you have lots of scope to explore and pick up collectibles and stuff. But I don't think at any one point I found myself like lost or, you know, trying to figure out how to do something. It's just, you know, it gives you very, very basic tools and then just says, you know, have fun. And yeah. I think, you know, that's kind of refreshing.
Is the story, like, I don't know if we even spoke about this, and obviously don't spoil anything, but is the story, like, hard-hitting? Because I would expect a game like this to have, like, a hard-hitting ending that sort of makes it worth it.
It's interesting. Like, the story is very kind of no-frills. Like, when you start the game, it pretty much gives you zero setup and just, you know, just sets you off on your way. But the main character, Kena, is, she's like a spirit guide. So it's her job to kind of help restless spirits, kind of leave, like depart the mortal realm and move on. So, it's, the story doesn't really have too many stakes. It's just about her going to this village and kind of, you know, freeing all the spirits that are trapped there and kind of clearing it of the corruption of having them there. But you know, you get those themes of like healing and moving on and that sort of stuff. So it kind of plays again more on its themes than having anything, you know, any real amount of depth or anything like that. So again, it's very accessible.
Cry, do you think?
I think maybe one or two instances. Yeah,
probably.
I mean, definitely. Yeah.
You went cried at the intro to The Last of Us without any context. If anyone was, just for...
It was his young daughter. Like, I'm not going to explain myself again. Brody, is this a game that you've got on your radar at all? It strikes me as the kind of game that would stand out to you. Like, from memory, you've played like the ukulele games in the past, and Banjo and Kazooie like holds a place in your heart.
Yeah. I'm definitely a fan of the old school. Like you say, PS2 era or Nintendo 64 era of platformer, like I find the simplicity refreshing, and to hear that it doesn't get bogged down with everything that, like, you know, all modern games are trying to do, like they all just try to be like each other. So the fact that this obviously harkens back to a simpler time, I think, is nice. I'm a bit disappointed to hear that the story isn't overly compelling, just because, you know, it looks like a Pixar movie. You kind of hope that it would punch you in the heart like a Pixar movie does generally always. And I'm story guy anyway, but that said, I think the main reason why I am going to try this game out is the price point. Like, it's actually fairly reasonable. Like, it's not one of these $125 like releases, and I'm an idiot with like a digital PS5, so I'm stuck to the retail price basically. So to hear that this one's like, you know, in the $60 range, like, it definitely, yeah, it's one I'm going to give a look.
Presumably this is the kind of game you could power through in a weekend as well, right, Kieran?
Yeah, or in one sitting if you're me and you have a deadline. Yeah, it's like maybe 8 hours for like the main path, and you know, tack on a little bit more to go back and sort of clean everything up.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely like really, really kind of good chill weekend entertainment.
And a fairly doable platinum trophy as well, as we discussed on Twitter.
Yes, aside from the one having to replay it on the highest difficulty, which
is the difficulty like that severe? Like, I've kind of heard mixed things about it, sort of like it's the kind of game that you could like sit with your kid and play, versus it's the kind of thing that's going to punish your kid and kind of make them get real stuck in a box.
There's three difficulties by default, and one of them is you know, it's called story mode. Like a lot of other games, it's, you know, super pared back on challenge, so you can just play through it if you're there for the story. I'm yet to tackle the master difficulty, as it's called.
That's the one you unlock upon completing the game.
Correct,
is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Whilst you got you as well, Kieran, you have reviewed another game quite recently too. You don't have to spend as much time on it unless you feel compelled to. I don't want to have to pick your brain for every review you've done in the last.
This is my episode now. I'm gonna take up the whole thing.
Yeah. But Lost Judgment is a game that you reviewed. I realize as well that one's an upcoming release too, so there might be some interest in it. What was your thoughts on that game?
I don't know if I've spoken on here about any of the Yakuza Judgment games before, but I have obviously done a few reviews of those for Press Start. This is, you know, as a longtime fan of the series, this probably hasn't replaced any of my favorites, but it is still very, very good. there's, I don't know, I guess there's some kind of like secret sauce in these games from the Ryogo Gotoku studio that just makes them instantly compelling, even though they all kind of follow the same formula and have the same settings and characters. But for context, I guess like last year's Yakuza 7 or Yakuza Like a Dragon kind of spun that series off into turn-based JRPG territory instead of the traditional like real-time beat-em-up games that they were. And then the Judgment series, which is a spin-off that started in 2019, that's kind of taken up the mantle of the like the brawler side of things. So it's interesting now they have, they've kind of split off their fan base into two different styles of game. And the Judgment games are more, I guess, like detective noir versus like, you know, organized crime fantasy. It's really cool. It's got like a very, very, very interesting sort of main case that the protagonist, Yagami, who's like a PI, he's investigating an assault, and that kind of like unfolds into this like wild murder mystery that involves all these impossible situations. And it kind of feels like Rian Johnson directed like an episode of Law and Order. So it's very cool in that way.
That's like a Knives Out sort of influence.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
Could you jump in like to this as your first game in like any of the Yakuza or Judgment series and like have a good time? I feel like I would just, it's too far gone for me at this point.
I definitely think you could, like, especially with the Judgment franchise, because you know we're only two games deep now.
Yeah.
And the stories are very self-contained. And the characters haven't really had like, you know, too much time to be fleshed out or anything yet. So it's definitely a good jumping in point. And yeah, it's super interesting.
I'm
aware
of like more and more people getting into this franchise. I don't know if it was like the addition to Game Pass or whatever, but I feel like it has kind of gained a bit of momentum recently and has had more people jumping in.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, as you say, Kieran, the Judgment games kind of starting things fresh and separating out the player bases a little bit.
They definitely have. And I mean, it's interesting because the first Judgment was the first one since the original game on the PS2 to get an English local, like an English voiceover. And then this one is the first in the franchise at all to have the English and Japanese versions released at the same time. So I think it's a mix of like, you know, people kind of discovering the series, but also Sega and the developer really kind of pushing it as well and putting effort into localizing it. So it's just kind of had this snowball effect, yeah, and they've just really picked up in popularity.
Nice.
But yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a good couple of games to review the last
it's
couple.
Been good,
hopefully
yeah.
That trend continues. And you love every game you review from now on.
Yes.
That's sure going to raise a few eyebrows. Speaking of raising a few eyebrows, though, let's talk about Quantic Dream potentially working on a Star Wars game. Some reports have appeared. Brody's raising his eyes at me already. Reports have begun to emerge that Quantic Dream, the developers of titles such as Detroit Become Human, Beyond Two Souls, and Heavy Rain, are working on an upcoming Star Wars release. Brody, I'm going to throw to you first and quiz you on this. What do you make of this report? Is there something you would like to see come to fruition?
I don't know. While I liked Detroit quite a bit, like I reviewed that and I liked it a lot. I think it like hit on interesting themes, and I guess David Cage's brand of writing wasn't quite as egregious in it, I guess. I'm kind of over the oversaturation, I guess, of Star Wars stuff, and like I'm just a bit, I won't say burnt out on it, but I just don't care. I can't muster up the energy to give a shit. Like I'd much prefer like interesting new IPs and stuff like that. But that said, I'll have a look, I guess. But it'd be interesting to see if it's going to be like more of the same Quantic Dream that we've, you know, seen in the last decade, like from Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls and obviously Detroit, or whether they might actually try and branch out and do something.
I think I saw it was more action based, yeah, which is probably what I would want from them. Like that same narrative branching adventure, but like a little bit more action and less just walking around and...
A little less conversation, a little more action.
A little more action, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I would like to see them do something different, but at the same time, like the fact that Star Wars is getting like... you know, spread out now into these sort of single player experiences just makes me more upset that we're not going to get the Amy Hennig game that got cancelled. Like it just fucking makes me so angry. But hey, they might revive it. You never know.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't think this news would, like, excite me as much as it was that, hey, we've been sorting things out here at Quantic Dream, and it's a bit of a healthier workplace nowadays. That being said, like, I think their kind of approach to game creation, like, could be interesting seeing applied to the Star Wars universe. But I'm perhaps, like, less fatigued by the amount of Star Wars content coming out recently with just how much of a fan of it I am. That being said, it is hard to imagine, like, what a Star Wars game would look like without kind of, like, that's centered around dialogue and less so the action side of things, I suppose. Like, without
the dialogue is so traditionally hammy and crap, so.
But yeah, I mean, like, you centered around kind of player choice rather than cutting someone up with a lightsaber, right? Like, you know, what does that kind of Star Wars game look like? I've got no idea.
I mean, it, like,
would it be the Phantom, like Phantom Menace kind of trade negotiations?
I feel like Telltale, like, time and time again proved that you can, like, move these IPs into, you know, narrative based games. Like, Game of Thrones worked a lot. I liked it very much.
Yeah, I mean, Game of Thrones is a political thriller, really.
Tales from the Borderlands, like, that's probably my favorite.
Yeah, okay.
That's my favorite Borderlands game, to be honest. So
yeah.
I mean, it can be done. As long as the content is interesting.
Yeah,
and I feel like I was going to say that, like, for all I know, it's a problematic studio, but they do make these really well thought out worlds, and, like, they've been hit and miss the games, but the characters have been memorable. And yeah, I know dialogue has still been a bit hit and miss, but I do trust them to actually hopefully be able to tell a different Star Wars story to what we're getting from, like, Ubisoft and Jedi Fallen Order and whatever else. Like, I think if they did something completely unique character-wise set in the Star Wars world, like, that could be interesting, at least.
Yeah. What do you come down on it, Kieran?
I mean, I don't really have too much of an opinion, because the only piece of Star Wars media that I've ever seen is The Mandalorian.
I mean, you've picked a good one, I guess. But
not a bad place to start.
Which actually, like, would lend itself well to, like, a narrative game. That sort of style of
well, wasn't there that rumored Mandalorian game?
It was actually.
It was at one point.
Yeah.
There was what 13 was, right? Or is that...
Wasn't there some leaked footage of, like, a Mandalorian game?
There was some fake leaked footage.
There was.
And it had, like, Grogu on the menu and stuff like that, so...
Yeah. It looked really terrible. Mm. But yeah, I like everyone else has said, I'd be interested to see how they handle it.
Yeah. I do find, like, the way Disney are approaching, like, what they do with their licenses in the video game space, like, quite fascinating. Like, it seems to be they're kind of doing, I guess, like, moving away from their deal with EA, the kind of, like, kind of diversifying things a little bit and working with studios rather than publishers.
I feel like that's been so unspoken as well. Like, that was an exclusivity deal that hasn't ended, we don't think, right? So, like, I feel like it's so interesting
Wasn't there a time limit to it, though, that's, like,
yeah,
coming
but I don't
to
think it
end?
Ended. I don't think so. I think they just agreed that they would be able to take it to other publishers and developers. I don't think it ended.
Right.
I could be wrong, but to be honest, the last few years have been a blur, so it's very possible that it did end at some point in that time frame. But
I still feel like it's 2020. Like, the fact that we're already talking about 2022, I've got no idea anymore. I know.
Yeah, but I'm so happy they can just take it to different studios, like they've done with Marvel, even though Insomniac seem to just be eating up all the Marvel games at the moment.
Yeah, true. Save some for the rest of us. All right, let's... Brody, I'm going to throw it back to you and ask you about the Halo technical test, which is kicking off this weekend. It seems to be that they've kind of opened it up to anyone that was inside the Insider program now. Inside the Insider program, you know what I mean. Which is, I think, like, an exciting prospect, certainly for diehard Halo fans.
I think it was prior to a certain date still, but yeah.
Right, okay. If I'm not mistaken as well, this is the first time it's like a proper multiplayer test and not kind of playing against bots. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe the first technical test was just against the bots, yeah. So I think this one's opening it up to like big team battle, and they're opening up like matchmaking and stuff like that. But it's only for like in like 3-hour blocks or something like that, I heard them saying on Kind of Funny. So I haven't actually checked the conversion to see how that's going to work out for us. Because I'm hoping there might be like an afternoon slot for us. But I've not looked.
Yeah, I think you're right, and there's like windows you can join. I don't know specifically what those windows are yet, but it's like this weekend and next weekend, I believe.
Mm. It looks pretty good. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I think, and 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. are the two slots. So, definitely 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. you'll be jumping in, Brody.
Oh yeah, burn the midnight oil.
Prime time.
Yeah.
Are you excited to play some, Brody?
Yeah, I'll give it a go. Like, I haven't really been into a Halo multiplayer game for some years. Like, it's probably been 14 years or whenever Halo 3 came out. Like, that was my last one, really. Like, I've played them all for the story and stuff, but I don't really get into the multiplayer side of things as much. Yeah. But the fact that everyone was really excited about the first technical test has got me a bit optimistic for this one. So I think I'll definitely give it a go.
Yeah. You a Halo fan, Kieran?
Not really. Sadly.
What about yourself, Shan? Are you going to make some time for this weekend? I would love to, but I don't know how I'm going to like juggle this and finishing Deathloop and starting Kena and... New worlds coming out soon as well. I'm even forgetting
potentially.
That's a fair point. Like I'd be almost happy just to wait. Like it's 3 months away, so like I don't need to be involved. And you raise a good point because I want to play Kena as well, and I've also got a couple other things on the fly. So yeah,
it's getting to that time of year.
You might have talked me out of it. There you go. If anyone wants a code, come hit me up. I got you one.
All right. With that, let's play a round of What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page from an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. The first that gets two games correctly wins the round and takes home the points. And last week, those points were awarded to James, who was comfortably in the lead. I say comfortably, but Shannon, you're not too far behind. He's on 12 points, Shannon on 10, Brody, myself on 5, Harry on 3, Kieran on 1, and Stephen still on nil pois. Kieran, good opportunity for you here to we do you dirty really by having you on the show.
This is my chance to double my score.
Yeah, exactly. Seeing as James couldn't make it today, I'm going to take over the hosting duties. And contestants, if you're ready, I will start reading out some games.
Yay!
Let's do it. Do me well, Ewan.
Such enthusiasm. Similar to its predecessors, the game is a first-person shooter with elements of an action role-playing game. The game can be played solo or with three other players in online or local split-screen multiplayer. The game is
Borderlands
set directly...
2? Oh, was I meant to say my name?
Yeah, buzzing with your name, yeah.
Did that last time.
Borderlands 2?
Yeah.
Incorrect, I'm sorry to say. The game is set directly after an expansion, and the campaign is set within the world of a fantasy-themed tabletop role-playing game. The titular character acts as the game's dungeon master and can change the game's world on the fly. That is the end of the paragraph. So, Kieran, you can re-enter the competition if you like. No? Okay. I thought you might have been hot on the heels. Doesn't matter. In the game, players can create their own playable characters. The game features 6 different character classes, and for the first time in the series, players can mix and match these skills for their characters. The playable avatars have stats which can be upgraded using hero points. Players have a large arsenal of weapons and firearms at their disposal, and for the first time in the series, players can wield melee weapons. The game features a procedurally generated loot system which is capable of generating numerous combinations of weapons and other gear. Yeah. The player can also cast different magical spells, such as summoning meteors or transforming enemies into sheep. The game features an overworld, which is used by the playable characters to traverse the various locations in the game. There are random combat encounters and quests that can only be completed in the overworld.
Kieran? Is it Tiny Tina's Wonderland?
It is. Well yes. Done, Kieran.
I was thinking that for like 4 minutes, and I was like, no.
Same. I was like, I don't know why I'm not saying it either.
That's why I was like, when you said Borderlands 2, I was like, oh, surely as soon as I finish this bit about like the fancy theme tabletop role-playing game.
I thought
if it
was,
game,
Kieran
like,
would have known
on.
Like straight after. But like,
the game sounds weird.
The mind games. Well, Kieran, you're off the mark. So if you guess any of the next games, you will be winning the round. Game number 2. The game was initially announced in 2010 with a release date set in 2012 by Sergey Grigorovich, CEO of GSC Game World, stating, after the official sales of the series exceeded 4 million copies... Brody?
Stalker 2?
Yeah, I'll pay that. Stalker 2. Well done, Brody.
Heart of Chernobyl?
Heart of Chernobyl. There you go. Brody, well done. I'm impressed you got that so quickly. You're a fan of Sergey Grigorovich?
I just know the developer is GS, whatever it was.
GSC.
Nice. I don't know.
Of course. Yeah. All right. Game number 3. Shannon, you knew this one. Stay in the competition.
I want to see the tiebreaker, so I think we should let Shannon get it.
If anyone's going to get this one, it probably is Shannon, to be honest.
All right. I'd hope so.
The game will feature a one-to-one recreation of Hong Kong Island as featured from the Nakhon Connect trailer and will run on WRC's 8 framework and handling mode. Unlike its two predecessors of both Oahu and Ibiza, the game will be left-handed traffic, a first in the series. Creative director Alain Journeau, there's a lot of words I'm struggling to pronounce here, who worked on the first two games, stated in the Nakhon Connect video that the game was has only been developed in development for several months by that time. In April 2021, Nakhon published a second teaser trailer that confirmed the game will be released for Microsoft Windows via Steam and the Epic Games Store, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S, with a new trailer to be released in July 2021. The trailer shows an Aston Martin DB11 and a customized Land Rover Range Rover SVR, along with the hands of a male driver and a female driver using those respective vehicles.
I don't know what the game's called. Is it like ATX Motocross?
No. Sport? No. I appreciate the guess, though. Yeah, along with the hands of a male driver and a female driver driving those respective vehicles and gambling in a casino, indicating that the casino feature found in previous Test Drive and Limited games will return. The trailer also shows the key fobs of
several
vehicles, including... I did, but not the full name.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a including new game in those
Brody.
Brody.
Test Drive Unlimited 2. I don't know.
This game has got such a random name as well.
Yeah, I think it's Test Drive Unlimited. Is it?
It is Test Drive Unlimited, and then there's two words that follow it.
Hot Pursuit.
Think the sun, and then what like royalty would wear on their head.
Shannon, I don't know.
Shannon?
Test Drive Unlimited, hot... Crown.
Hot cops.
Crown is correct. So it's just that first word that we're missing here, team.
Solar crown.
I would much rather do this.
Like, Solar Crown. Than...
Solar Crown. Well done, Brody. That's the title.
Give it to Shannon. That's ridiculous.
Solar Crown.
What? Where did you find that game? I've never heard of that.
It's a real game, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
Are you sure that's not the game that no one would know?
I'm a bit concerned about that one. I thought maybe Shannon, who seems to keep up with his racing games, would have known about this one.
Do you, Shannon?
No.
Definitely not.
Does anyone? Stadia as well.
You know how much I love my Stadia.
All right. Do you want to go to a tiebreaker? Then
Shannon got crowned, so I'll concede that point.
At this rate, this is not boding well for this last game as well.
I thought we were running a bit short for time, so I'm happy to go to another one. So.
We can do one more. Go. Okay,
we'll be here all night by the sound.
Legit, yeah. The game is a role-playing game that features platforming and adventure elements. On the field, the player controls one character, but can switch between a total of 6 characters at will. Each character has a unique ability that the player can use to explore the environment, solve puzzles, and progress. Platforming and elevation, in general, plays a large role in the exploration of towns and dungeons. The game does not have random battles. Instead, players approach enemies on the field and enter a separate battle screen. The game features a turn-based battle system that employs a 3x3 grid in which the players can position their party around to maximize damage, avoid traps and spells, and strategize. The game is an upcoming independent role-playing video game being developed by Roach Games. The game takes heavy inspiration from classic 16-bit JRPGs like Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, and Final Fantasy VI. Development of the game was initially funded fully out of pocket, with the developers working full-time as custodians. This inspired the theming of the game around garbage. The developers launched a Kickstarter campaign in July 2019 for additional funding. Following its success, they are currently targeting an October 2022 release. The game is planned to release on Microsoft Windows, Mac OS X,
Shannon.
And Linux via Steam or DRM for copy. That's the paragraph. Yep.
The gunk.
That's December.
That was a good guess, though.
Did you say this is a me game? Like, you think I would have got this?
No, I didn't say that.
Because you're waste.
I thought that's what you said at the start. Nevertheless.
The theme for this round, seeing as I hastily threw it together because I realized last minute that James wasn't on the show, is games coming out next year in 2022. If that helps.
October 2022, you said?
Yeah, October 2022.
I've seen this game, but I don't know what it's called.
It's a Kickstarter too.
It's themed around garbage.
Yeah.
First, shall I give you the first three words so you can try and guess the last one?
How many words is a fuck? This is a fucking train wreck.
I should have guessed some easier games, apparently. It's four words. I don't know why I picked this one. Honestly, I wasn't sure we were going to get to a tiebreaker. I'm sweating bullets. Four words. First three are Kingdoms of the. Looking for the last word. Think garbage themed.
Kingdoms of the waste.
When you're ready.
Shannon.
No, Brody. Those are correct.
Oh, so you said mine wasn't correct? Okay.
No, yeah. Where would you put your garbage?
Bin.
Maybe, where does the bin then end up?
Tip.
Is it?
Not the tip.
Is it Kingdoms of the Dump?
Kingdoms of the Dump is correct. Really? Kieran, was that you that guessed that? Well done, Kieran. Oh my God. You took it home. Amazing.
That didn't deserve that point. That was not good. What game is that? Like, why have
Kingdoms? Look, there's not many games confirmed for release next year, and that was just. Many that I thought like Kingdoms we had already discussed, but that was just one that stood out to me. It had a fun name, and I thought, oh, maybe the.
Maybe it looks cool. It's like an NES game.
Yeah.
Look, see, Shannon knows all about it now. Look, where were you during the?
Really good work. Really good. I really enjoyed that.
And with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
You can follow me at shancake_ on the Twitter.
We've also been joined today by Brody.
The little main character's a bin. He's so cute. you can follow me
game of the year.
I'm liking the look of it all of a sudden. Brody _DG. You can find me on things. Bye-bye.
And last but certainly not least, taking home the points today, it was none other than Kieran.
I only deserved 50% of those points. You can find me on Twitter at hashbrown, _BRAUN.
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter at Ewan_Roxburgh. Apologies for the obscure game references. Maybe there's some diehard fans of Kingdom of the Dump out there that would just...
I think we shed some light on it now.
If you kickstarted it, you reach out to us.
Yeah.
All three of you, please.
Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.